Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to the French Rugby Podcast with me, Tim Groves, former France hooker Benjamin Kayser and ex-Scotland international and adopted Frenchman Johnny Beattie. We're on Rugby Pass this season as well as all your usual podcast platforms, and we've got the home of the top 14, Premier Sports, on board with us too. Premier Sports is the place to watch every single minute from each game of the new United Rugby Championship, as well as being the only place to watch live top 14 in the UK and Ireland from each and every round. So watch the biggest names with all the games live on Premier Sports this season. Just check out Premier Sports to subscribe today from just $12.99 a month on Sky, Virgin and the Premier Player. We will chat about the top 14 shortly because there's been a fair bit going on since we recorded last week, but the Autumn Nations series got underway at the weekend as well, and France have their first game against Argentina this weekend. And you're both working on that one in Paris. But Benji, have you had a better week this week, and have you got all your travel sorted? Do you know which flights you're getting, what time?
I've decided not to fly. So that's the solution, right? So no, I'm just jumping on a train and delighted to do so. I much prefer it. To be honest, it's just an exciting moment, right? The European rugby is around the corner. Autumn Nations Cup is amazing. And on top of that, it's going to be a proper Autumn Nations Cup. Whatever, it's not even cup, it's the series, right? It's Autumn Nations series. And last year was Autumn Nations Cup. But last year was a bit weird without Japan, without Fiji, which were the only two excitement. And especially in the sort of the French new era of Fabien Galthié, it's going to be the first time that they face Southern Hemisphere apart from the Australia tour, where they had to leave without, I don't know, 15 of their best players or something. So it's super, super exciting. And you go gradually, you go through Argentina, which obviously can be hit and miss, and they're distant cousins. You just never know who's going to show up. But when they do, well, they can beat the All Blacks. So they're pretty damn good. And then you've got Georgia, who's obviously a powerhouse of the world of scrummaging. And they have 72 potential tight heads that can play for the team and one scrum half. But that's the reality. And that's the thing that every single country in the world envies them, because they're just absolutely extraordinary in that. And they've got a lot more to offer now. Obviously, I'm being a bit ridiculous, but and they're growing. And then you finish by the mighty All Blacks. So it's a proper big old series. I mean, I think I looked at the round three. It's what, England, South Africa, Wales, Australia, France, New Zealand. That's what everybody's waiting for. And after 2 years of mega lack of these, north-south confrontations on a crispy Saturday night in Paris, they're the games that everybody wants to be at. So jumping on the train, plane, walking, cycling, I would have been there.
How about you, Johnny? Good week? Looking forward to a crisp Saturday night in Paris at the weekend?
No, it's been good. I was up doing a game last night for Premier Sports, which was good fun. I was doing Racing 92 against Toulouse. Jack then uncovered some serious young talent, again, young French kids that we'll talk about later, who were phenomenal. So good game to watch. It's also the October holidays here, so we got down to San Sebastian. That was the first time we've been down to Spain since COVID hit. So nice just to get out of the house. And then, like Benji said, international rugby is back. This weekend, I'll be up in Paris. So I'll get to catch up with you, Benji, and with Rory, which will be great. Looking forward to France-Argentina. And then the next morning, so hopefully not too rough, I'll be nipping over to Edinburgh for Scotland-Australia, where I'll catch up with you, Tim. So it'll be the first time we've managed to catch up at all ever. And looking forward to it. A glass of wine or a beer in person.
I've seen Benji's red wine collection and his choices. So don't burn yourself out on Saturday night.
I'm terrible. I'm not going to be able to back it up either. So I'll have to temper myself. But no, just delighted. A couple of glasses of red and then the first flight over on Sunday. So looking forward to it. It'll be epic.
Let's have a look at that France-Argentina game then, because it looks like a good one on paper. So how do you see it going?
I think, I don't know if we're doing predictions just now. Maybe we'll wait for a little bit. But to be honest, I'm super excited about it. Like I said to you, first sort of second with the full team encounter with the Southern Hemisphere team. Yes, Argentina are not New Zealand and South Africa at the moment, okay? But they're still an absolutely quality side, which, to be honest, does not go well with the French mentality. They're very similar to us. They're very aggressive. They can very, they can actually be particularly dominant and powerful, especially up front. And France definitely need that platform. Now, there's going to be the big question around that game, which pretty much has been dealt with, is the whole 10-12 situation. Are we going to miss Vakatawa? Are we going to miss Gael Ficou? Are we going to miss at center? Are we going to miss the partnerships that went really well, Arthur Vincent and all those guys? But at the same time, can we not get mega excited about having the two, probably one of the two hottest talents that French rugby has ever produced, Ntamack and Jalibert, together at the same time on the pitch and see how well they can go? And there was a really clever quote from your mate, Christophe Furios, who had a big fat smile on his face after beating Clermont at the weekend, saying that not only are they good, but they get along well. So there's guys, you know, who are in competition, pretend like they like each other and stuff, but hate each other's guts discreetly. And it's not the case with them. So, very, very excited to see them. Very excited to see Antoine Dupont as a captain and see how he can perform. He can even, impress us even more. But more than that, very, very eager to see once, the sparkle is back in the French camp. Yes, 2023 is around the corner. If you want to replicate the English module of Clive Woodward to 03, they beat on a regular basis every single Southern Hemisphere team. It doesn't give you no guarantees for the World Cup, okay, but you need to learn how to beat them. You need to learn how to beat Argentina. You need to learn how to front up, a week later with the monster pack of Georgia. And then obviously you need to go for Mount Everest, the All Blacks. And this one is a proper, proper test for the French team to say, are we going to go to the quarters or can I actually make it to be title contenders?
Like you mentioned, a few of the guys that are missing, Vakatawa, Arthur Vincent, but I think we can get more excited that the systems are there in place. Like, you've got top quality coaches now. You guys are organized. It's exciting to watch. And as you mentioned, like, you plug in Dupont, Jalibert, and Ntamack. That's three of the best players in the world right now. The way they're playing the top 14, absolutely phenomenal. So really excited to see them play together. That, honestly, I'm a little bit worried for Argentina just because, like, you saw through the Rugby Championship, the language Mario Ledesma was using. They're exhausted. They're absolutely out on their feet. They've been traveling nonstop. And having played against Argentina in these fixtures before in November, you can, just by body language playing against them on the field, you can tell it's the end of the year. You can tell it's their end of the season and they're desperate to get back home. And that's why I think this week it's a massive game for France, absolutely huge. So much up for grabs for individuals, but also as a coaching staff and for nation. And my gut feels that Argentina might be on the end of a spanking. I hope it's not. I hope it's a highly competitive match. But I just feel the way Ledesma has been talking, they're exhausted. They're at the end of their season. And I think they're desperate to get back home. So I think France will be comfortable.
You teased it, Benji. We'll get your predictions for that one later on and touch on it a little bit more. But let's turn our attentions to the top 14 now then. And we've spoken about Patrice Collazo's struggles at Toulon every week so far this season. And we suggested there might be big news coming when we recorded last week's podcast. And then it arrived before the podcast was even out. So he went. And Frank Azema is in, Benji. So are you surprised by that?
I am a little bit surprised because I spoke to him 2 weeks ago and we were still speaking about the whole, I was sort of texting him, are you packing yourself a bath? Because I could have sort of given him a few addresses. When I saw that those poor guys lost by 70 points against Saracens, I thought somebody's head is going to get chopped off. And actually, I was thinking, if Frank gets the nod, he would be sort of that different spark that maybe an English club would need. So it would be sort of a great idea. I'm not an agent, so I didn't make anything happen. But it was just a good moment to just to have a chat and to catch up. And we were more talking actually about the dispute with Clermont and how ugly it's getting, really, and how disappointing it is. So. I know that your next question, Tim, is going to be like, well, go on, what's it telling us about the dispute? So I might as well. It was basically what happened is that Frank knocked on the door in January to say, listen, I just feel that I've done the year too much, that I'm not impacting the boys as much as I should. He signed a 4-year deal and he was, after a year and 6 months in, decided to be like, I'm going to pull the plug on my last 2 years of the contract. I just think it's better for everyone, right? Let's sit around the table, see how we can figure out a solution. And in the end, they managed to get John O'Gibbs out of his La Rochelle contract because him and Ronan O'Gara were too big for one seat. And in the end, the club was like, oh, it could be in our interest, to pull the plug also. He wants to go there. We want to let him go. It could fit all parties. So they sorted that out. Fantastic. And then all comes along with a big trotters, Montpellier. And there's a bit of a history since our mate Scott Spedding went from signed a contract for Montpellier and then ended up turning around and signing for Clermont when I was there. And I think there was some sort of, you know, not contract breach, but they needed to settle it. And so Clermont settled it, and they've always been a little bit pissed off around it because I don't think things were done exactly the way that they should have. So there's a bit of bitterness between the two. So all of a sudden they thought, well, Franck is taking us for a ride here. He's actually all along got this Montpellier deal in his pocket, and he comes along and gives us his long speech, and we get Jono Gibbs and stuff. He's going to try to stuff us. And never forget that poor Eric de Cromière, may he rest in peace, passed. And so Guillaume, it's his first month or first season, proper season as new president. And whether I hated to admit it or not, Clermont always had a reputation of being too nice, too naive. You know, you would step on our feet, we wouldn't say a thing. Oh, yes, the big bad boys of Toulon and Montpellier could rock up, but we would never stand up, right? So there's also this image of Guillaume being like, listen, I for my first major decision as a president, there's no way in the world he's going to take me for a ride. Don't forget that Guillaume used to be head of HR for Michelin Global. So he's hired a few guys, he's sacked a few guys, he's organized countries, right? So he's not afraid of a contract or two. And then from what I've heard, they asked for a stupid sort of indemnity to make up for this loss. And then Montpellier actually pulled out. So Franck had nothing. Franck was still in Clermont. They had Jono Gibbs and he had nothing. So actually they called his bluff, but they realized that he wasn't bluffing, that there really wasn't a Montpellier contract before, that there was absolutely nothing behind. And so he took it really badly, obviously. And then there was a whole sort of law case of he had to get to the club with a surveyor next to him, you know, to double check and X, Y, and Z, and things are not going well. So there's a lot of bitterness. What I know is that in the last couple of weeks, things have accelerated. Before the Toulon sacking Patrice Collazo, there's been sort of clear rupture of the contract, be like, you're officially not employed by us in Clermont-Auvergne anymore. There still is going to be sort of a court case at some point, right? They're not settling and backing down from anything. Franck from the pain that was caused, and Clermont thinking that they owed a fee. But then all of a sudden, Toulon rocks up, he signs, and then I just see like 10 minutes later, a little communique from SMB like, oh, we just want to clarify the situation, X, Y, and Z, you know, saying that because he signed, that means he considered that he doesn't owe us anything and that this is done and we're not going to let this happen and then we're going to seize the league and X, Y. I just think it's pretty poo, to be honest. I think it's pretty dirty. He's giving 11 years of his life to the club, and to be honest, what I mean is life. He gave his heart and soul to this club, and for anybody who knows Franck, he was the first. I think he used to come at the club at 5:15 every morning, and he's definitely the last one to leave. I mean, he left a bit of his health there. You know, his family got shaken by his involvement in it because it was just mental what he gave. On the other hand, you have to understand that Clermont didn't want to be again the little loser, the happy loser who's going to let everything happen. Fair enough. This is done. Need to move on. Franck's in Toulon. I think he's definitely in demand for the job because he's not going to try to get rid of everything. He's a respectful, straight, straight shooter who will do fantastically well for them. But I'm genuinely disappointed by the bitterness, but I'm genuinely excited about Franck being in Toulon.
Presumably Toulon will have agreed with Franck that if anything does happen, they'll pay it.
I don't know, mate. I have absolutely no idea. I actually don't think, honestly, Toulon is a pretty attractive club. I think if they wanted to get, I don't know, Michael Cheika or somebody, they could have. I don't think you need to knock on too many doors basically to get a head coach, considering, to be honest, that they could have kept on going with Sergio Parisse, who at some point I think will join the coaching staff and he's doing his diploma and all that. And he gets along, and his best mate is only Julien Dupuis, my mate too, who's the backs coach there. You know, so it would have made a lot of sense. And with Kuglan there, I'm sure they would have done a fantastic job. In a moment where the problem was maybe the overwhelmingly present and dominant presence of Patrice Collazo. Maybe it's also what caused them to actually do good and to bet on him for such a long time. And he's built some youngsters that have come because they wanted to come for Patrice Collazo. So it's a big old bet. But no, to answer your question, I have not heard, and I don't think there's any deal from Toulon to be like, right, we'll pay. It's not a transfer fee, basically. It's not like we'll pick you up. I think he's got his beef with Clermont on the side, and he's ready to go full tilt at it. And I think there are two that's separate. But at least now, legally, he's employed by Toulon, and he can finally move on and speak on the pitch. And the particularity of the funniness of the calendar makes Toulon go to Clermont the weekend. So that's gonna be spicy.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, let's delve a little bit deeper into what's been going on in Toulon now then, and we can have a chat with the man who was in charge of the side at the weekend. Toulon defence coach James Coughlin joins us. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
We're good. We're good. We were sat doing the podcast a week ago, and Patrice Collazo was still in the job. When did you find out that he'd gone, and how did you discover the news?
Monday, we had a meeting with the president, all the staff. Tuesday morning, was a bit all over the place, and then about 2:45 president came to see me and said, look, Patrice is going to make an announcement. And then Patrice came to see us, and so the president just basically said, look, we want you to run it this week. So yeah, deep end. But I was honestly, it's a strange one because Patrice brought me to Toulon, showed enough trust in me to give me the job. So it was difficult, a difficult week personally, but a difficult week. He had a much more difficult week than I had, obviously. But it was, I was grateful that he trusted me to be the one. He said, look, I said to the president, you can run it for the week, there'll be no issue, blah, blah, blah. So obviously it was just more about repaying his confidence in me and obviously the president and Laurent Emmanuelli, the director sportif, his confidence as well. And then it was just trying to keep everyone going, try and block out the noise a bit, you know, because obviously there was noise coming from everywhere and it was just kind of filter and delete Rugby Rama, delete Instagram, delete Twitter for a week and just trying just to avoid the mess, you know.
How was the announcement of Franck made to the boys? Was it, did the president call it or did he just rocked up out of a door? Because I'll tell you later, me and Julian were in one of them.
So Tuesday we had the staff meeting and then everybody was in. Wednesday I was kind of running around like a mad chicken but we knew Frank was around the place. So it was kind of like, we knew he was around. So we kind of were like putting two and two together. We could, like, as I was in the office late and obviously the agents are coming in with people and out with people and whatever it is. And then, so we kind of had an idea of what was happening Thursday morning. President came to me and said, look, this is what's happening. We're telling you first, obviously, because we know what's going on. And then there was a staff meeting at 8 o'clock. Frank was presented as staff, and then there was a team meeting at 3 o'clock. And Frank came in at 8 o'clock and was there to help us. It wasn't just in and just go, look, I'm just going to stand back. He said, look, I'm not a cop for the week. You know, I'm just here to look and to help. And if I think I can help out, I'll help out. I'll leave you at it. And it's been, you know, today was more the first real day of working with Frank, and we were in this morning, just, you know, just putting things in place in regards to how we're going to train, how we're going to go forward in our start of plays or whatever it is. It was kind of like the first real day of putting stuff in place to move on. So yeah, it's been a hectic few days.
Mate, you say hectic, you look shell-shocked, I'm not gonna lie. After having spoken to you a couple of weeks ago and seeing you a little bit over summer as well, you mentioned the noise. Yeah. I'm guessing the volume in Toulon is very different. Obviously, your man of experience with Ireland, with Munster, with Poe, with Breathe, you've been around, but how different is it, the noise that you experience and the level of attention that you get at Toulon?
There is always noise. There is always something going on. Not all of it bad. I'm not saying it's bad. It's not. It's just different. And the phrase over the thing is God honest, it's the truth. Ici tout est différent. It's just that. It's just the scale of stuff is just completely changes when you're in that position. You know, you go from trying to organize stuff with the CDF to have to call Dave Rennie about a player that's been selected. So the scale, you can understand why managers stress and why it's a big job, because in big clubs, it's from the academy just until, you know, you could have Fabien Galthié is calling players in, you need to speak to him, you need to speak to the S&C staff, you need to speak to the medical staff, you need to speak to the direction, you need to speak to the press staff, you need to speak to the administration staff, the guys are changing their cars during the week. This was my week. The guys were changing their cars during the week, late for reunions because there's a hole up in Volkswagen, so the chick cars that they're getting aren't going to be in the right order. So, okay, we'll put it back a quarter of an hour because... Yeah, but no, we can't because, you know, announcement Frank is coming. It's just the scale of everything is just that much higher. That's just and then Saturday morning, the manager Justine, who is absolutely brilliant, is just honestly the place would not run without her. So James, just after getting a call from the prefecture, where they're thinking about putting it into alert rouge, which means everything stops. No match. The roads are closed, schools are closed, businesses are closed from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock. So I was like, oh, great. Okay. And he can just throw on the pile there, guys. So I said, look, we have to play the game. You know, Toulon is in a good position that we can put pressure, but we can say one way or the other. So I said, no, look, if we can stay in orange, we're playing the game. Obviously then can I, but then you have to do the other crap behind it, like, so okay, well, if the game is tomorrow, what do we do? So we need to call the caterers, we need to have the food ready, we need to have the campus open, we need to have the plan day, the bus all ready, the parking for the lads organized, the aftermatch, what's happening with the aftermatch, who's doing the aftermatch, who's doing the press, Canal on the phone going, the game is going ahead, the big game is going ahead, the game is going ahead, the game is going ahead. Great, that's what we want. Great. Turn on the rugby club. Yeah, I'll relax, I'll watch the rugby club. You know, it's Saturday evening, we won, it's great. That game really should have been called off, shouldn't it? It's like, oh my God. Please, give us the same message, at least. But the rain for me was a good omen. I was like, Christ, if it's pissing this much, it has to be a good omen. It has to be an Irish paddy in the south of France, Côte d'Azur. and it's pissing like out of the heavens. This has to be a good sign. So at least there was that much, you know.
You said that ici tout est différent. So basically, yeah. Toulon, everything's different. So there was another club where everything was different, was Stade Français. And I was there with Julian when we went back after Leicester, when Ewan McKenzie, remember the Australian coach? He got sacked after four games. And I mean, it's funny that you used the sentence, we heard something, that somebody was coming, we didn't know who. And that's exactly what happened at Stade Français. So there was a rumor that, listen, at 12 o'clock, you will know the new coach. And Max Guazzini loved that stuff, right? So he was milking it dry for a couple of days, giving us clues and stuff. There's a boy, you know, there would be a guy jumping in the... in the change room, I saw Baldy. Bernard Laporte is coming back for sure, mate. He is. I saw somebody. Then you see that agent, but that agent actually represents, I can't even remember, it was the Crusaders, Robbie Deans or something. He was like, yeah, Robbie Deans is here for sure because I heard whatever. And in the end, it was Jacques Delmas and Didier Forgeron. But I mean, it was almost like comical, you know, how our heads can spin. And in the end, you know that it's Frank. You knew that something was going on. You knew that something had to change. What was your first? I'm going to tell you what I think about him. And obviously, he's very positive, so be careful what you say.
But
what was your first? What was your initial instinctive reaction? Because I know, you know, I mean, there's been a few battles between Munster and Clermont, so obviously you had to sort of love his tactical side, and we adored your warrior side, if you know what I mean. What was your first initial reaction when you knew he was the man?
Honestly, it was Patrice that kind of said it to me on the QT, look, it's going to be Frank. My initial reaction, obviously, was I know how he works. I know how structured everything was with G and Clermont, having played against G for as many years as he had. I had never heard anybody say a bad word about him. And even though he left Clermont, was because it was for the better of the team. Was what he felt, you know. He like Morgan. He had a few other lads who were, or Cammy Lopez, or you know, Damien Shuley, yourself, Benji, who had him for 10 years nearly. So he had recognized that, you know, I can't flog the same horse every year with the same message, with the same detail, with the same. So straight away, that shows you what kind of a character, you know what I mean? And I think the president who spoke, I thought very well on Friday. Not that I couldn't say any otherwise because he's my president. But no, but he said, look, it's a guy with a great character, you know, a great rugby record, which he has. You know, he's won championships, he's won European competitions. But it's a good guy. We know where we stand with him. I think you'd say it yourself, and you know him better than I do. He's honest as the day is long. He's very direct in what he says. There's no double messages, no double images. And Jesus, that's all we all want. You know what I mean? That's, you know, somebody who's straight and honest. I think it's a more, and the French love to use the word Anglo-Saxon, even though we're Gaelic. Johnny will attest to that. We're not Anglo-Saxon. We're Gaelic, but that's exactly what we like as well.
I think you've got it spot on. And the only thing that I would add is that he's a straight shooter, that he's probably the only coach that I've heard that actually takes player input and takes peers' input seriously. Some guys will just nod, you know, and be like, yeah, I'm pretending like I'm taking it on, whatever. He actually values opinion. I mean, you know, he went to get John O'Gibbs to be challenged. He's not that coach that will hold the reins all the time and be like, it's my baby. You get the fuck out of here. I will never even take on board what you say. If he says that he wants a staff with guys who challenge him, he will actually let himself be challenged. And I think that's his biggest strength. His humanity and his straightness sometimes cost him, because he's a man of his words, and he wants to deliver it, and he wants to front up on all those things. And on top of that, he's going to be humble enough to be like, it's easy, you know, to be the dictator, to rock up, to be like, oh, well, I understand why Toulon were losing, because that shit. It's easy. You know, it's Hanneke Meyer who rocked up. Ah, they're not fit enough.
Yeah,
it's like the easiest excuse for a head coach, you know, to be like, not fit enough. All right, well, let's try to get something else, right? And he's not going to do that. How do you say that? He's not going to throw the baby with the bathwater or whatever you say. And he's genuinely going to chip in, do his hard work, and you'll see, mate. I'm sure you worked hard, but bloody hell, he works very hard. Like, yeah. First in, last out, and you'll love it. So I think you've got it spot on.
No, well, we can see directly, even from his chat during the weekend, he was... You know, it wasn't like, it's shit what you're doing at the moment, guys. It wasn't. It was actually the opposite. You're saying, it's good what you're doing at the moment, but the problem is that you're getting 9 line breaks and you're not putting any of them away. You know, how can we fix that? So, like, you know, and getting more detail in our kick chases, or getting more detail in our on our kick reception as well, which is really important now because the amount of kicks are going in. But no, as you say, he's happy to have us have a go at him. There's no titles, you know what I mean? There's no hierarchy. It's kind of like, okay, I'm the defense coach, but you know, what do you think about this attack? Or, you know, likewise, when Julian or Max have said something to me about, we were in that kind of an environment anyway that I could chat to Julian about the attack and he could come to me about the defense, or Max would talk about the kicking game or exit strategy or whatever it is. But we're in that kind of environment, which is great then to have somebody in to affirm that, you know, rather than stamping it out and going, you do that, I do this, you do that. So it's early doors. We just, you know, we just need to start. But I think the holidays will do us good, you know, that break of the couple of weeks, and get it really focused for, you know, Leon, Paul, and then we can move into then Christmas period and we'll have everyone around, which would be a novelty to be able to scratch our head and go, oh Christ, what team are we picking this week? Because, you know, there was some of the preseason weeks we had 12 guys at training.
That's exactly what I was going to ask. Was I understand results hadn't been where the expectation would have been, but sure, there must have been a certain level of empathy from your president and also supporters that you didn't have a preseason. Like you said, you're 12 blokes. Since the season started, the raft of injuries you've had, plus all the boys away on international duty and rugby championship, like you've been playing with one hand tied behind your back. No, is the short answer. Obviously, he's jumped, but there must have been some level of understanding.
There was and there is. You know, it's a result-based business, Johnny. We know, maybe it's a build-up. I'm only here since July, so I can't talk about what's happened before it. I won't talk what's happened before it. What happened since July has been, we've done the best that we could do. We've been in work at 6 in the morning. We've left work at 8 o'clock in the evening. We have done as much as we can do every day. Because we know, like you've all experienced, boys, it's not a 9-to-5 job. It's not for the players have a great fucking life. They, you know, they come in, you check out, you do your job, you go home. Whereas there's no reflection in regards to, oh Christ, what are we going to do tomorrow? This guy's injured. Who are we going to put in this place? Well, which guy's academy guys do we need to call up? Because even last week, we hit 24 for training. We can't even do 15 against 15. We can't even do lance once. We can't even, you know, you try and get your guys ready 15 against 15 to get your start play sorted. Okay, we can do that, but we've 10 guys in defense. I've trained, and as bad as it sounds, I've done sessions. I've had carbo turn me. Oh, Christ, you're fat, but you can still go a bit, like, you know. So it gets to the point where you're like, oh Christ, what can we do here? Like, because Patrice was in first. He was, and I'm an early starter. I'm in like 6. Carol was always there before mine. And I was leaving at some of the evenings, 7. His car was still there when we left. So like, it wasn't that we weren't doing the work. It wasn't that he wasn't doing the work. We were doing the work. We were doing as much as we physically could do. There's a lot of excuses, but we can't make excuses.
And he's obviously still getting his feet under the table, Frank, and you mentioned some of the fine tuning that he's already said he wants to do in the red zone and in defense as well. Do you know if he is planning on bringing anyone in the back room staff as well? Because Mr. Kayser here is always touting for a job, interpreter, line out okay. Coach, anything.
He is a better contact with Frank than I have. And it'll be the usual. It'll be, oh, Christ, who's that in the car park? okay, well. Bienvenue. and then do I have to pack my box as well? It's one in, one out.
So, hey, I'm coming in January to commentate the game of you boys, and I'll share a beer. That's about it.
No, I look forward to it. Don't worry, we'll do more than one. Nothing.
I think Benji did want a job, and then he heard you talking about it, and he was like, "No, I'm happy to talk about it."
Oh mate, I'm exhausted.
It's the one reason everyone gets scared off. Like, respect for everyone that goes into it, but the hours. And you mentioned again, like Patrice's car being there before you, last to leave as well. Can you give us a little bit of insight into the personality? Because he's known as this fiery character. He obviously worked wonders at La Rochelle. I mean, unbelievable team at La Rochelle, but for whatever reason, it didn't quite click. But more importantly, the personality, the bloke, the guy that's pulling the strings behind the scenes, what is he like as a man?
I honestly, as a man, I couldn't speak highly enough. It's kind of hard. It's kind of like you feel like you're speaking in an obituary or something. Do you know what I mean? as a bloke, man, he's the funniest guy you meet, the genuine, most genuine guy you meet. And the thing is that I think I twigged very quickly is the reason he comes off abrasive or whatever is he brings it, puts it all on himself. Like as in, if it doesn't work, it's his fault because he's the one in charge. When I kind of twigged that, I understood where I was at, and I didn't try and make him laugh or take a piss out of somebody. But like, you know, it's the stuff that no one sees, and then you're kind of going, fucking hell, how is he dealing with this? Because this is just mental shit. But like, as a bloke, honestly, he was the first person I texted after the game. Rang me during the week, rang me Friday morning, see how everybody was getting on, what, you know, is everyone fit? Who have you back? Who haven't you? What are you doing? Sent us all a message to wish us luck. No bitterness and no nothing. Said, look, the club comes first, James. I think what's right for the club is this. And I hope it's a friend for life kind of thing, because it's he gave me a shot in one of the biggest clubs in the world. And I won't ever forget that. Like,
that's proper. You mentioned earlier that he sort of hinted that it was going to be Frank. Is it fair to say that he's taking it better and he's not bitter at all because it's Frank? Because I know they had a good relationship, the two of them.
They have a good, the first thing he said to me is, you'll be okay. Frank is a very good guy. I don't know if, you know, he's upset with the situation. I'm sure he'd have preferred to stay in it, but he thought what was best was for him to make the decision he made. He's just a genuine bloke, so I reckon, you know, I'd give him a bit of time. He'll do a couple of visits. He'll be around visiting clubs that he's been with before, and, you know, he'll do a bit of his own education or just take a step back for a while, because it's been a long time in a lot of pressure jobs. Obviously, the job he did in Irish Air was amazing. Not too long. So there's that becomes with it too. Everybody knows you. Everybody knows the car you drive. Everybody knows where you go to eat. And, you know, like, he would tell me, like, there'll be some nice guys would follow him home from work and say, you have to win at the weekend. It was at that point where guys were, like, literally following the car home and stopping him as he was going into the house. So, you know, we have to win at the weekend. And then people talk about us being grumpy or whatever it is. Well, that's, you know, you have no idea what's going on, you know. So that's, you know, as I said, I've nothing but good things to say about Patrice, and I won't ever listen to anybody say anything but good things about him, because he's just a good bloke.
That is next level. And we're all exhausted listening to you talk about your last week. But okay. you were the main man in charge for a few days. So
yeah.
Is it giving you a taste for the top job or not?
A taste, yeah, but it's sour. I'm not sure.
The only coach in the history of Toulon to have a 100% record must surely have given you a taste for more.
Yeah, no, it does. It does. Like, I mean, I think if you're in it, you're in it to go as far as you can, to go as big as you can. Otherwise, there's no point doing it. I chat regularly enough to Laurie Fisher, who's in charge of the Brumbies. One of the few things he said to me that have really stuck with me is, you have to get on the bus, because otherwise you'll never know what it's like. So, you know, it's been brilliant. It was a great week. I'm happy to step back and step back as far away from the limelight as I can go now for a few months and get myself, but learn from Frank, because if you can't learn from somebody with his experience, then obviously you're just closed off yourself, and you're not really, you shouldn't be in this kind of job if you can't learn from people like Frank.
Well, thanks so much for coming on and talking us through the week, and good luck for the rest of the season.
Thanks a million, boys. I'm going to bed. I'll talk to you again.
Rest up, mate. Thanks a lot.
Sleep well. And if you're short numbers or 15 on 15, there's a couple of ringers that you can give a call.
Ringer? Which ones? From the movie or from the three?
Exactly. You got Tim and Ben anytime.
Okay. All right. God bless, guys. See you. Bye-bye.
Thanks very much.
Cheers, mate. Thanks a lot. I love the genuine, how do you say it, the genuine side, the genuinity or whatever of those human connections. That's absolutely brilliant. I love it how he said he's going to be friends for life. Like, he hopes he made a friend for life with Patrice Collazo, that he's understands the pressure and the element, and it's almost like it's not about yourself. It's just about the institution. It's about the big old Toulon ship, and whoever jumps on, you know, jumps on. And Patrice Collazo has given his heart and soul to this project, but he realized, a bit like Franck with Clermont, that it was time for him, maybe for the benefit of for the greater good, to jump off. And everybody's recognized it. And I think you can read between the lines. James said it could have been any one of them, right? It could have been all of them. It could have been just Patrice or a couple. Now it's their mission to take on what Franck can bring. And he's a top bloke. And I loved how he summed up him up in just a couple of sentences. And he's only met him for a week, but he really did grasp sort of his genuine side and how he considers rugby and people and teamwork and spirit. I'm actually pretty optimistic after just, you know, a little half an hour of chat. I think they've got their heads proper screwed on. I think they've got definitely some quality players coming. They need to, you know, bite the bullet for that November test period, because they've got a shit ton of internationals and some proper players, some proper, proper players that are not here. But after that, careful, because I think once everybody's pissed off, everybody's hungry, everybody's angry about a situation, you don't want to shake the beast of Toulon, that's for sure.
And that's it. It is a beast, but you can't underestimate as well the requirements that are needed at the top level, the coaching, the management, and the people at the top of that tree, how much they can affect the whole organization. Look, Toulon have now got massive infrastructure. They're organized for the first time behind the scenes. Like, you speak to the guys that were there under Bujala, it was a complete mess. Like the training facilities, the infrastructure, the physio S&C stuff, it wasn't there. It's now there, all in place. Franck Azema, like we said, a great man for the job, like handled one of the biggest clubs in French rugby and European rugby for the past decade, absolutely massive. And then also, like, didn't really get into actual him as a coach, but James, really talented and respected young defense coach, highly emotionally intelligent, like keen to learn. And the bit that I loved was the get on the bus. Like, you're there for the ride. There's going to be ups. There's going to be downs. Learn as much as you can. Absorb from people like Franck, from Patrice, because at the end of the day, in 10 years' time, he is going to want to be a head coach in one of the biggest organizations in Europe. And look, he's well on his way. He's there with his feet under a desk at Toulon. But great bloke, great insight, and great to have him on.
Have you spoken to your other mate, Julien Dupuy, about the situation, Benji, or not?
He just texted me to say thank you. It was more a support sort of text that I sent him to say that I know things are rocky. You know, when you know that your main coach is going to go, and he's a bit the same as James. He was brought in by Patrice. And so you don't know if every single Patrice man is going to be chucked out, right? And it's a different thing when you're Patrice Collazo and you've done 10 years at the top level. You obviously earned a little bit of coin. And like you said, you can use that time to sort of freshen up your mind and go for the next project. He's definitely not a done coach, right? Patrice Collazo is going to be on a bench, and most probably a very good bench, but by mid next summer, maximum, for sure. He's a talented coach who will find another job. That whole jungle of the assistant coach sort of market, that's completely different, right? So I'm sure he was properly frightened. And there's also who's to blame? You know, you're always trying to blame somebody. So it was more the support system. And I know Julien has a lot of respect for Franck, and I thought Franck will be mutual, because I already, every time I used to play against Stad or something, you know, Julien would come to the hotel before. So they've spoken to each other through me quite a lot. And they're very similar blokes in the sense that sometimes it costs them to speak a little bit their mind too much, but they're very genuine and they're very straight to the point. So that I think they'll get along fine. It's more a bit of support. Voilà, a bit of support. My mom was born in Toulon, didn't stay long, but was born there. I love the place. I think it deserves its spot in French rugby, because it's just so special. It's so spicy. It's so different. And that's what we all love about it. The only time I didn't love them is when they beat us with Clermont. But I'm growing, you know, more mature now. So I'm wiser. And because they don't hurt me physically anymore, then I'm okay with it.
And do we think there will be any more changes in the backroom staff, or is he just going to work with what's already there?
I don't see Franck transforming anything. Like I said to you when we were speaking to James, he's a respectful, down-to-earth bloke, and he knows that nothing, you don't want to chuck the baby with the bathwater. It's not the case of getting rid of everything. And he's not a superstar. He's not going to sort out everything in 2 seconds. And on top of that, there's a guy that I mentioned earlier, Sergio Parisse, is going to be in and out of the coaching staff any second now. Fred Michalak is coming in December. I don't know how that's going to work out, considering I forgot that Maxime Petitjean, that's who he was mentioning, the former number 10 for Aurillac, who's there for the kicking. So I don't know how Fred Michalak is going to, even if he's a top dude, and I'm sure he can bring a completely different eyesight to this after being in Australia with rugby league and all that. It'd be great to have him, but it's a bit random. So I don't see more exits. I just see more combination with Fred Michelin coming in.
Great to have James on. And let's round up the other top 14 action from the weekend then. We spoke about there being a few more away wins a couple of weeks ago, Johnny. So, of course, 7 home wins this week, yeah?
Not anymore. No, I was up doing the Racing-Toulouse game, which sort of threatened that like the first half at Toulouse were kind of dominant. Racing kind of struggled. Again, the pack battled. Again, some of the youngsters that came out of that game, Max Spring, the young fullback, Nolan Le Garec, the scrum half, who actually looks like a young Morgan Power the way he plays, like freakishly good behind a pack that wasn't functioning. And you just think there's another option potentially for Fabian Galtier to add. You know, Baptiste Herrin has been in and out, but you just think there's another kid that is at the top of his game, taking his opportunity with injuries. Iri Barron's been out. He's not been playing. He's starting ahead of Machinot. He's another one for the future. He was absolutely freakish at the weekend. So an impressive win for Racing, even though they sort of spluttered in the first half.
You've spoken about him before, Benji. Impressive, wasn't he, Le Garec?
He is really good. I think he's from Brittany. He's from Vannes originally. He's a skinny little thing. But I love Morgan to death, but Noël Le Garec is quicker. He's got just that bit extra pace about him. Extra electric side, but he's a very ballsy, abrasive pack leader, number 9, who really has a plays with a chip on the shoulder, and that's his biggest quality. I saw him rock up with the under 20s when he was only 18 a couple of seasons ago, and already he would boss everybody. He just had that
he was skipper.
Something more. Not when I was there. He was surclassé, so he was only 18 playing for the under 20s. He was the youngest out of all of them. And he was really delivering. Very, very impressive. So I think it's his time to shine. It's his time to take over. And obviously there's a bright future ahead of him. To be honest, French team is going to be a proper step because there's only the man Antoine Dupont, and he's going to leave a few crumbs behind him, but that's about it. And don't forget that there's still even some of the very good players, you know, that are not even in there. So between Baptiste Serin and Antoine Dupont and all these guys, and Couillou, and I mean, the competition is ridiculous, but that's also the best thing that can happen for France.
And a big win for Montpellier over Lyon.
Huge. Comprehensive as well. I think it was Lima Sopawanga's first start at 10, and he had a little blip last week. And we know how good he is. Having watched him for the ABs and watching him in the Premiership as well, he had a little blip last week. We didn't understand the 60-second counter that we have in the top 14. I think he was hoping for a helping hand in English from the referee, but it didn't come. So that didn't go his way last week in his first appearance off the bench this week. Ball came back from Jonathan Pelissier, just classic exit strategy, fumbles the ball into own deadline area, and Kuba Reinach jumps on the ball try. So look, it hasn't been the easiest start to his top 14 crew. You also had Pierre Mignone saying after the game, he went to him in the change room, said, look, welcome to the top 14. We're all behind you. Take your time. We're here behind you, but we're going to have to step up eventually. So look, it's been a blippy start for him, but he's class. He just needs a few games, a bit of a run, the language barrier as well. He's only just arrived in the country a few weeks ago. But again, Montpellier, we talked about them over the past couple of weeks, firing and making it almost look easy, and how good they were under Vern Cotter, where they finished first and then couldn't quite get over that line and win that final against Cast a couple of seasons ago. But look, they just look dangerous. They've got quality, they've got depth, they look organized again and set up properly to play in the first time in a couple of years after Garbajosa going. So another big step forward from them. But Lyon were disappointing.
And Ronan O'Gara wasn't too happy with La Rochelle's defeat at Perpignan, was he?
No, he was fuming. He just thought that, I mean, to the point where he's becoming French, Ronan O'Gara, because he's
always been a little bit French. He's feisty.
Oh my word. So he obviously the game is a terrible, is a great win for Perpignan that they got out of grit and determination and a lot of balls, really. But it's a huge disappointment when you're La Rochelle and you've got big expectations, you've got internationals left, right, and center. You just need to go and win Perpignan when you consider that, I don't know, 80% of the top teams will win in Perpignan this season, most probably. And I'd mean that with the utmost respect. But when you're trying to chase every single point there, you just need to convert. And I mentioned those internationals left, right, and center where Ronan O'Gara had a proper dig at them. And that's typically French. That's like Mourad Boudjelal mixed with Bernard Laporte mixed with Guy Noves in the good old days. And it's basically, well, yeah, those internationals, yeah, they're really good. But if they keep on playing that, I mean they're never going to be picked, are they? So it was a bit of own your status. If you're internationally capped, then you got to deliver on the pitch before you actually jump on the plane to play for your country. And there's always that dig about, you know, do you, there's always this thing, and Johnny will tell you, and I think it's really intense in France. When you get picked, it's fantastic, but you feel that you got to think, you have to think about yourself a tiny bit. That's not really well seen, you know, in sort of club rugby. So the best internationals are the ones who get absolutely smoked with their club before they go. So that's a proper dig, proper dig.
A big dig. And also weirdly, I think it is sort of tells us a bit about Ronan O'Gara, his adaptation and how up to speed he is. Like, he's been at Racing 92. He knows how to motivate and work within French rugby culture as well. Like, he knows how to work the press, the media. He speaks really well. And he doesn't mix his words. Like, he just comes out and says, that was a fucking nightmare. We made these mistakes at the start of the season. Boys haven't learned, and that's what's disappointing. Like, he's cut and dried in what he said, and he's got big expectations as a coach because he had huge expectations on himself, on Munster and Ireland as a player. And that's what he wants to pass on to these La Rochelle boys. And they've been so good. They were so good last season. That will be the disappointing thing for him. He knows when they fire, when they're on song, they can mix it with anyone. But then you go to Perpignan, he describes it as a lesson in aggression. If you're not up for it, you get beaten. It doesn't matter what team you're going to play against, top 14. If you're mentally not switched on, you've got no right or desire to be able to say to the French national team, pick me, if you can't front up and go away and play Perpignan in Perpignan. So I enjoyed it. I enjoy the way he speaks. I think he's a great coach and looking forward to seeing more of him.
And I've left a certain little game out of that top 14 chat because we've got a new feature this week, haven't we? And I think it might crop up in that. So do you guys want to talk us through it?
We've got the meter moment of the week, fellas. Essentially, we pick our favourite rugby moment from the weekend. And we might agree, we might disagree, Benji. We can pick different things and decide on the best moment of the weekend, the meter moment of the weekend. I'll let you go first. What was your moment of the weekend just gone by?
Well, listen, the meter is to test the heat of how hot and how cooked meat is, right? Meat is muscle, meat is balls. It's just, you know, showing a bit of aggressivity. And listen, I know yours already and I really like it, but anybody who had Premier Sports at the weekend in the UK would have seen exactly precisely what I keep on telling you, why Morgan Parra is just such a special number nine. At one point, the 60, it was obviously Clermont against Bordeaux in Bordeaux, a very tight, intense game with some proper big shots all around. And at one point, there's a proper break by, you know, François Tringue sets up a beautiful diagonal kick for his winger, I think it's Romain Buros, who catches it, and he's legging it all the way to the try line. And you see Morgan Parra rocking up, flying full tilt at diagonal, and just absolutely melting him a meter. Morgan Parra weighs about 79 kgs, right? He's not like a human cannonball that's thrown at you. He just brings absolutely everything he's got behind him. And he melted him with a beautiful, beautiful tackle. Not many so small guys have got the nuts, the courage, and just the natural aggressivity to do that. And that's why I was blown away by it. And my mate Yannick Nyonga, who was on the show, I saw put a little tweet also said, the courage of Morgan Parra. Wow. And that's exactly who he is. He kicks the tough penalties. And when it's about putting your body on the line, my word, he's always all the way up there. And he's the skinniest. So that's why it's the most impressive. So my meter moment was Morgan Parra's cover tackle on Romain Buros, where he melted him a meter away from the line, but couldn't prevent the defeat from Clermont in the end.
He's put a very good case forward there, but Benji's gone for his mate, Johnny. So who are you going for?
No, respect. He was absolutely, and he's tiny as well, Morgan. But that's people don't realize, but he was absolutely traveling. If you look through the highlights of Bordeaux Clermont, look for the try that Jan Lesgourg scored. So one of the best footballer touches that you'll see in the top 14 manages to chip the ball into his hands and can score his own try. That was nearly it for me. But my meter moment of the weekend was the performance of my old mate, again, another mate, but François Tranduc, who didn't train with his side at all last week because his missus was giving birth to number three. So congratulations to them. But didn't train with him at all. Came off the bench on the 45th minute. First touch, knocked over a drop goal. And then created basically everything that was positive about Bordeaux's play for the rest of the game. Took the ball to the line, created some ridiculous line breaks, silky hands. It was vintage François Tranduc, the sort of bloke that I was used to playing with 2012, 2014, an absolute freak show. So it was his performance capped off by the arrival of his little boy, and that was my meter moment of the weekend. Vintage François Tranduc and back to his best after a couple of years of hard injuries and strife. Good on you, François.
There we go. We'll let the listeners decide. Meter moment of the week. Benji's mate or Johnny's mate? You decide. Let us know.
You've got the perfect little extra detail saying that he was third time father during the week for the legend that he is, François Trinduc. To be honest, it's his last season. Morgan's got a couple in him already. François is an absolute legend, and I adored the way that he controlled that game. And I don't know if you saw, but he got put on after, Soutenny was having a shocker with the kicking to posts. And he was brought on. Rémi Lamarra took it out. I thought that was pretty ballsy call from Christophe Furios. And Soutenny went to 12 and he went to 10. And I don't know if you saw, he came in. He almost gave a hug to Soutenny. So there was really a sense of, he knows what it is to be in the shits. When he knows what it is to be in front of the sticks and just you're an off day, because he really did have a shocker. And the first touch that he did wasn't really the drop goal. It was first putting Soutenny in a gap. And then he did the drop goal. And I thought, man, he just... His human psychology, his internal emotional intelligence is just out of this world. So fair play to François.
We're agreeing then. We're giving it to François Trinduc this week.
Yeah, man. I just need to basically give a bit of praise to my mate Morgan. But François had it all along. Don't get me wrong. It's okay.
That was Johnny and Benji's Meter moment of the week. And Meter is the world's number one wireless meat thermometer. And they've made over 9 million cooks better with their revolutionary app as well. So it's no surprise their users are growing rapidly every day. If you've ever said your pork or your turkey's dry, either of you?
Never. Moist, mate. It's moist.
Then Meter is the brand for you. And you can use it on a barbecue, in the oven, or in a pan. Enter a whole new world of cooking and join the Meterverse at meter.com. And just use the code FrenchPod10 at checkout for 10% off any full price item as well. Before we go, there's been a bit of transfer gossip, hasn't there, in the top 14? There always is. What have you seen, Johnny?
Never ending. The latest one is Andre Pollard not being kept on at Montpellier. That'd be a big chunk off their wage bill, to be fair. And the possibility of a young Englishman coming across the channel, another one. Zach Mercer's already there. Ford might be coming across from Leicester. I think there's a little bit of cash maybe to be paid in transfer fees, but if they could get him, 77 caps, used to pulling the strings for both Leicester, who are flying this season. I'm not sure if you watched any of their games in the Prem, and for England, out of luck and out of the squad with Marcus Smith coming in. So potentially between him and Anthony Bello from Toulon moving down to Montpellier.
And with Ford, this is 2023 we're talking, not next year, isn't it? Or are they going to buy him out of his contract?
Yeah, I think it's looking like next season. If he's not part of the extended squad for Eddie Jones and isn't going to be number one or number two for the World Cup, then I think it's going to be next season. That's what rugby papers over here are reporting anyway.
And Maxime Machinot, is he off from Racing?
Yeah, I think it's pretty much done. He's going to Bayonne. He's a Bordeaux boy originally. His father was managing a really famous brasserie down next to La Dune du Pilat, La Corniche, a beautiful brasserie, restaurant, amazing, and hotel. So I think he'll be coming back to his sort of Southwest origins. Bayonne, definitely up and coming. I don't think they're going to stay long in Pro D2. The project is completely still in place. So it would make sense. And I think it was, well, from what I've heard, it was a matter of length of contract. And Racing is still really keen. He's got a very, very tight relationship with Lorenzetti. But then obviously maybe not particularly keen to leave too many guys in the way of Nolan Le Garec being able to completely take the reins of that team and, you know, feeling completely in confidence. You can never underestimate how much it means to let Maxime Machinot do his own thing, get 3 years in Bayonne, but also imagine the message that they're sending to Nolan Le Garec. Mate, the club is yours for the taking. Go for it.
Any others?
Alexandre Rumat, who started off at Biarritz, has been at Bordeaux for the past, I think, 4 or 5 seasons. I think he's just signed for Racing 92 as well, another one. So you'll be up competing with Baptiste Chouzenou for the 6 and 7 jersey. Ibu Diallo is there as well. Another really talented kid. I think he's only 24 years old, the son of Olivier Rumat, French legend. So that's the only other one that I've seen. I'm not sure if it's confirmed, but definitely being spoken about down here in the Southwest.
The only one that I'm really interested to know, but I don't believe it's going to happen, is see if the Vunipola brothers ended up crossing the channel.
Mate, they've been coming to France every year for the past 10 years. That is just pump up your tires.
No, Nigel Ray.
Whoever it is, majority, minority shareholder, sign me up. Classic.
To be fair, I mean, I can't remember who I was speaking to about it. When I saw the England side for the Autumn Nation Series, I thought there must be a mistake. There must be 5 games and that's the first team that's going to rotate. Afterwards, there's about 6 names I've never heard of. So there's some proper changes, and there's a proper message from Eddie Jones to say, well, boys, I think the ship has sailed now. You know, we're really taking a different direction. So I don't know. You know, if you're going to try to milk your talents across, it might be the time. But obviously those two guys, big hitters financially, big hitters on your restaurant bill and yeah. big hitters on your ball carrying statistics. So seriously, seriously impressive duo, obviously.
And Clermont as well as Bordeaux, one of the clubs linked with those three Napola brothers, Benji. Can you see that happening?
Well, potentially, I would be very surprised. I think Bordeaux are better positioned.
The weird thing at Bordeaux is they've got two top-class loose heads, right? So they've got Jefferson Poirot, they've got Paiva as well, who is a machine. So you got Billy can take the spot of Louis Picamol at eight, but loose head, they're sorted. They don't need a loose head. So Clermont, they're not going to... Fritz Lee's about to re-sign four more seasons. There's no way he's getting turned out.
Well, we started off talking about the internationals, and let's finish off by getting your predictions in for the Autumn Nations series then. And the Guinness Pint Predictor on Match Pint is back. So anyone listening can join in and prove they know far more about the game than Benji and Johnny. It's really simple. You just download the Match Pint app, predict the scores, beat your mates, and win pints of Guinness. And to compete against Johnny and Benji, all you need to do is enter our private league with the code LARUGBY. And the overall winner of that will get a very special prize at the end as well. So let's go for it then. We'll start with Ireland, Japan. Johnny, you go first.
I'm going to go Ireland by 13. I think that's going to be hard though. Like Japan are proper team. We saw that last World Cup, but I just think Ireland home advantage, Japan traveling over first game up. I'm going to go Ireland by 13.
All right. Just for the sake of it, I'll go for Ireland by 14.
Just for the sake of it, you could have gone Japan.
Nah. Italy, New Zealand. Benji, you go first.
Italy, New Zealand. I will go for New Zealand by... Don't want to be mean, but I'll go by New Zealand by 45.
Cricket score. Even if New Zealand stick out a second 15, which they might do and mix it up, I'm going to go New Zealand by 52. I think this could be pants down stuff, really, this weekend.
England, Tonga?
Same thing. I'll go England by 40.
I think it could be more again. Again, Tonga last weekend. I know they're going to bring in, I think, seven, eight or nine different players to the group that played against Scotland last week, but just the strength of England. England by 48.
Now we're getting into the big ones. Wales, South Africa.
Oof. I unfortunately don't see. I bet last week, where I did my predictions last week, I got them right. I didn't see such a big score for the All Blacks against Wales. They really trashed them. So I don't think South Africa can do that. Wales will be particularly upset, obviously, out of it. I still see the Safas being stronger, being more dominant, being more in control of what they do, not particularly lacking of that many numbers. Even if it's end of tour, they're getting some guys left, right, and center. So I'll definitely still go with South Africa by 14.
I agree with you, mate. I just think that Wales, without Alan Wynne-Jones, without Moriarty, I just think it's going to be... They've already got injury problems in certain positions as it stands. Therefore, I can't see Wales doing it in Cardiff. I'm going to go South Africa by 16.
You're going to be there, Johnny. Scotland, Australia.
So are you, mate. You're going to be there too with your Scottish jersey on. I'll be there and I'll give you a pint of Guinness after we've got these predictions right. Do you know what? If Quade Cooper was there, I would have gone differently and I possibly would have backed Australia. I mean, they're in great form. I think the advantage that the Scottish staff has is that they know Dave Rennie inside out from his time at Glasgow. He was head coach there for a few seasons. All the players know exactly how his systems work, how he operates, how to nullify those threats. So I'm going to go Scotland to win at home. And I think, as I said, if Quade Cooper had been there, I think he'd been the spark that sort of won them a couple of those last games. I'm going to go Scotland by 7.
I had Scotland by 3. So that's my only big bet. Still seeing them beat Australia on a beautiful afternoon of rugby, hopefully for everyone. So always exciting, positive attacking rugby from both sides, proper battle in the air, but I still see Scotland just sneaking in that win. It's not going to be easy. They're going to have something will have to happen, but I still see them just sneaking that one.
And to round it all off, the really big one, France, Argentina.
Boomfa. I think France will win it. I don't see it being that comfortable, considering there's a bit of an uncertainty of how... I don't think they'll be stressed out. I don't think it will be a particularly sort of unsettled result all the way to the last minute. But at the same time, I don't see France overly dominant in the loose because it's going to be the first game, because there's going to be a new association at 10 and 12. And with a lot of respect for how Argentina can be tough to handle. I've lost to them on the last game of a November tour in France, thinking that we were going to, we just smoked Australia, and then we ended up losing to the feisty Argentinians by four drop goals of Nico Sanchez, who is a Stade Français now. So still very, very bitter about it. And I'd say France will beat Argentina by six.
I think it's going to be more comfortable than that, Benji, mate. I think, like Ledesma, kept labouring, they're absolutely pooped. They want to get home. They're knackered. And I think there are too many people with a point to prove.
They said that last time.
I know. Now, look, I just think there's too much talent. And I think that they're settled. They've had a decent camp together, which is tough for French guys to get together and prepare properly. And I think it's time for them to start clicking and things to fall in place before the World Cup, as it's coming fast around the corner. So I think it's a decent time to lay down a marker and a statement when I'm going to go France to beat Argentina by 16.
We will see, and we will report back on how you've done next week. Thanks, Johnny. Thanks, Benji. A big thanks to all you guys for listening as well. Make sure you hit subscribe. Leave us a nice review if you can as well. Check us out on Rugby Pass as well as on YouTube. Get on Premier Sports for all the live top 14 action, and we'll be back with another episode next week. Au revoir, guys.
Cheers, boys.
See you, fellas.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.